We're here at podtech.net at Juniper Networks headquarters for the Juniper News podcast, here with Stephen Philip, the Director of Product Marketing for the Security Products Group. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John.
So, obviously, a lot of news going on within Juniper. You see all the stuff going on with the security products within Juniper. You manage the high-end firewalls, SSL, VPN, intrusion detection, application acceleration. But in particular, the Secure Service Gateway family of products is developing. Talk about what's happening with that product and the sector that it's competing in and news there.
At the highest level, enterprises are looking at how they can improve productivity, how they can reduce cost, and how they can, you know, attain what's the buzz in the market of, you know, business continuity. So availability, resiliency, risk management, those types of things. But where the SSG line, which is the abbreviation of the Secure Services Gateway, where they tend to fit in primarily is in the branch environment. You know, obviously those same drivers apply to the branch. And if you think of what's happening in the branch with our branches, you know, when now it's something like 90% of employees are not at headquarters, right? So if you start to, you know, apply those same principles to the branch, there's a lot of things happening. So, you know, how do I enable the productivity of that branch personnel to be the same as their, you know, headquarters cousins? How do I reduce costs when I potentially have thousands of these remote locations without support and things like that? So there's a number of things happening within the branch market in that context. So things like the use of the internet as a backbone technology, for example. The use of, you know, consolidating into single IP infrastructures for your backbone networks. Whether it be the use of the internet or as a private IP network. Direct access to resources out of the branch rather than necessarily coming back to the central site. The use of the use of broadband technology to reduce cost, increase the bandwidth into those branches. There's some of the things that are starting to happen, and as we go through, I'll probably elaborate a little bit more on those.
I mean, branch office and remote users has always been a hot button in IT. I mean, so but now, more importantly, because of the, you know, internet as a backbone and the collapsing of a single IP infrastructure, really provides more capabilities. How does someone who's a director of IT out there deal with this? I mean, obviously, the benefits are, you know, application access. But talk about from a cost perspective and deployment perspective, because it used to cost a lot of money 5-6 years ago, even like 10 years ago, millions of dollars. But now people are working at home. They're working in branch offices.
Well, depending on the size of your network, it still costs millions of dollars. but obviously, you know, controlling costs is a key part of how people look at this. And it comes in a number of ways. As I said before, leveraging, you know, internet technology and broadband technology that has been rolled out around the world. In fact, you know, you're seeing in North Asia and in Europe probably a little bit ahead of rolling out, you know, things like Metro Ethernet and very high bandwidth broadband connections. But the U.S. rest of the Americas is certainly catching up pretty quickly. So the use of and access to those technologies, consolidation of, not just having, the consolidation of your networks such that you don't have 13 networks anymore. You know, historically, we've had a voice network, a frame network, a lease line network, our internet access and whatever else, and also, you know, a separate voice network. So the consolidation of those things can certainly drive down the costs associated with that. And then also we've seen, the design within the branches start to see device consolidation as well. So this is
give me an example on that.
Well, sort of as I was going to say, it can be a mixed blessing. So if you talk to someone about an IT director about what they want in their central site, typically they'll say, well, I want discrete platforms for performance, bandwidth, no single points of failure, those types of things at the central site. As soon as you talk to them and you say, well, what do you want at your 100,000 remote sites? They say, oh, I'd like to have a single platform that consolidates all these functions. Mm-hmm. Now,
That's the wish list.
That's the wish list, and whether it's, you know, whether it's achievable, it depends on, you know, what you're trying to do and the bar associated with that. And so we've certainly seen within the market those things happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the things that we're doing with the SSG portfolio clearly plays into to that way of thinking. But it's not as simple as just, you know, adding features. That, you know, it's where does that, you know, what is the where does that intellectual property come from, or how good are those features you add? And when you turn on those features, do you impact things, create another bottleneck? Yeah. You know,
do you solve the problem that you originally set out to solve?
Correct. Do you do that?
So what are some of the top challenges, I mean, you're seeing to clients? I mean, it's out there, people out there, you know, scratching their head, banging their head against the wall, whatever they're doing, they're redrawing their networks. What are their top three challenges that you see around this SSG product?
Well, I think it does depend on the size of the network. And, you know, the SSG portfolio is a broad portfolio. You know, depending how you look at it, there's the SSG 5, which has a number of variants, the SSG 20, the SSG 140, and then the SSG 500. So there's, within that, there's, you know, around 11, 13 platforms, depending on how you look at it. So it can deal with the size, the total size of the enterprise, as well as the size of the branch. So that's one of the, does it fit to my requirements? The challenge associated with the increase in bandwidth going into these branches, the direct access to the internet that many companies are opening up. Historically, it was, no, I'm going to backhaul everything to the central site. But now the lines of businesses are really sort of saying, no, I want to have direct Wi-Fi access out of the branch for my contractors or my guest workers. Or, you know, you have a very distributed enterprise and they want to access resources in their geography, not backhauling them to a central site. So that raises a lot of security challenges. Mm-hmm. Now I've got employees in a branch directly accessing the internet. So how do I?
So increased bandwidth is a big issue, and then just access. People just want diverse access points to get into the network, whether it's Wi-Fi on the road or.
Yeah, it's just the number of things that drive the productivity requirements.
Yeah,
and then there's the challenges of how do I reduce the costs, and then it's okay. How do I make sure that works, or the business continuity.
So challenge. Productivity, cost, deployment.
It's not just about deployment though. It's you know, is that going to be secure? Is that going to bring down my network? Or, you know, I've now consolidated my network. I used to have 13 networks. Now I have one or two, and now the availability of that network becomes very critical.
Security, yeah.
Security, availability. These things all play in.
How does the Juniper product with the SSG address those?
Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that we looked at with the SSG was the requirement to add additional security services to the platform. So the ability to do what's often referred to in the market as UTM, and that means different things to different people, and there's slightly different definitions. But typically it means, you know, firewall services, antivirus capabilities in the gateway, the ability to do things like URL filtering to prevent people going to, you know, phishing sites or, you know, inappropriate sites for the business. The ability to do things like anti-spam, so to offload some of the effort that's happening with the email servers. Although that's typically a smaller enterprise solution, because typically most of those things are done on the central side. So how do you, you know, implement those technologies on top of the firewall and, yep, and the access or the connectivity? And that's something that we have been working at, and we've development of. With partners, and so on top of the firewall capabilities is also intrusion prevention capabilities, so looking at the worms and the Trojans that are trying to come into the network. So our approach was to work with best-in-class partners, such as Symantec, Kaspersky Labs, Surf Control, and others, to enable us to have this platform that was using our strengths but also leveraging, you know, well-known partners in the marketplace, and put that on a platform that could run all those things. Well, that's nice, but now I'm saying I want to do that, and I simultaneously want to increase my bandwidth. So how do I do that and have it still to perform. So that's a lot of the development with the SSG platform was around, you know, developing a platform with sufficient headroom, processing headroom.
What is the SSG? If you had to kind of describe it real quick, I mean, as a product, I mean, the positioning of it for people, because it's a lot of things going on in there.
Yeah, so it's first and foremost, it's a security device. It's a security device with, you know, the ability to do firewalling, IPsec, VPN. It also has routing capabilities designed for the branch environment. One of the things we added to this platform was WAN interfaces. So in many cases, it can replace the requirement for a router in that branch environment. So then adding additional security services on top of that.
It's like the central hub for security stuff, right? In kind of in layman's terms.
It allows you to consolidate a number of devices into that branch environment. So it's not just security, because it also provides the connectivity. Yeah.
So securing branches is a big deal. Obviously, branch office is our distributed, right? That's a huge. Talk about some of the application environments. What are the type of clients that use this? Can you just give a high level? Is it big monster enterprises? Is it, you know, retail, both? Is it, where's the?
Well, the segment is pretty broad. You look at, clearly a lot of the capabilities, which we really haven't finished talking about in terms of the large distributed enterprise, a lot of those, the features are designed to cater for those. But it lends itself very well for the smaller business. And so it can really cover a large area. But sort of typical applications, I already mentioned retail, financial services going into branch locations, government agencies, you know, remote deployment management is a key element of doing this. So, you know, how do you roll out thousands of branch offices and do it quickly? You know, we've got customers that have rolled out, you know, thousands of remote sites in less than 3 months.
Wow.
You know, averaging over 100 sites per night as a sort of a rollout. So
take me through that real quick. I mean, that's important. I mean, obviously, you got to have the functionality, which you do, but...
So, you know, it's a lot about, you know, the pre-configuration and staging, and then the ability to push some very minor configuration onto the platform and then have the device call back to home, if you like, and get the management system to push the full configuration. So that, you know, once you've got contact with the device, it's very easy then to go from there. But that initial contact...
You're pushing the configuration path simultaneously up to where you deployed it.
Right. And then using that same sort of, mode to, you know, I want to change policy. I want to universally change policy in my enterprise. So does that mean I have to go to 3,000 devices and change that configuration in every one of them, or do I actually change the configuration once and then push it out to all those sites simultaneously? I mean, there can be huge
policy is important.
Huge advantages in terms of the operational cost of doing this. The other element that becomes into the management of these devices is the organizational structure of a company. Many times you have a separate security team, networking team, and the sort of the operations team. Now, I think we're seeing a lot of changes in how they consolidate, and, you know, no longer are they really silos. But clearly, as you consolidate a platform with different technologies, those particular capabilities may be managed by different teams. And so, you know, how do I have a consolidated device where I want the networking team to be able to change the routes and the VPNs? I want the security team to be able to change the policies, and I want the operations guys to be able to administer the logs and do break fix.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want any one of them to be able to have read-write access to the other functions. And that's a capability called delegated authority, which again is not part of the SSG per se. It's part of our central management system called NSM, which. Yeah. Work cooperates with those devices.
It allows people to do their job without hurting the network. You got the security maintains the integrity of the secure network, but you don't have to coordinate different groups, and it's just the management time probably gets accelerated down.
I mean, that capability or that requirement often it often brings organizations to the conclusion that they won't go for integrated devices. Now, there are other reasons not to integrate, but you know, often it can come back as you know, organizational structure. You know, I can't. You know, I need to have this team work on this device and this team work on that device, and so
it's a big dependency.
Yeah. So you know, there's a number of things that need to be aligned before you know, to enable you to do that integration and do it right.
What is unified threat management, or UTM?
Yeah, so I mentioned that before. You know, unified threat management, UTM, is a term which sort of talks about, you know, multi-layered security approach, essentially. Is, you know, what are the different technologies that can keep my environment safe? Now, typically at a central site, these are going to be discrete platforms. And most people, as I talked about before, at the central site, they're going to still look to have those platforms be discrete. But when you talk about small offices or branch offices, you know, there's a lot of economic pressure to do that integration. So UTM really refers to the integration of firewall, VPN, antivirus, IPS technology, intrusion prevention technology, web filtering, other technologies to look at the different types of attacks or threats you're going to have. Things like access control can also be included in that in some definitions.
What's different now than 5-6 years ago, in your mind?
So I think, wow, there's so many things that are different 5-6 years ago.
The security environment's obviously much more focuses on threats.
So you know, nowadays most of the attacks are at the application layer, whereas probably, you know, 5 years ago most of the discussion was around network level attacks, right?
Yeah.
So that's clearly one. The use of the internet as a backbone is certainly much more prevalent now. The preparedness for organizations to do what I called, direct internet access or split tunneling is much, organizations are much more likely to do that. I think because now more and more employees are located in the branches and there's a real drive to do that, and there's a requirement to have those branches be very productive and autonomous. And so, you know, historically, I would talk to organizations about, you know, split tunneling, and most of them would say, we don't do that. It's just not part of our security policy. Now, that's a valid security policy, but what we're seeing nowadays is, you know, lines of business saying, okay, but I want you to make it secure. I want to do this. I want to have, my Florida office be able to directly access the internet and not come back to New York or whatever. And I understand there's a security concern there, but that's what I'm giving to you as your responsibility.
The business is driving more now than it did 5 years ago. The business is saying, we need to make this happen.
Yeah, I think so, rather than necessarily the security team saying,
this is what's
available. We don't do this.
Yeah, or this is what's available.
Yeah, we just don't do this in our environment. So that has changed. Obviously bandwidth into the branches has changed considerably. Do this.
We get customers that I talk to, that your customers, they love the firewall products. The management software is just really seamless, and it's really a testament to the products. Congratulations. Second question, 5-6 years from now, what do you see? And this is not the Juniper position, but I mean, just, you know, as someone who's in the security business running a group that's pretty diverse in products in the security area, what's the horizon look like? Mm-hmm. What will be different 5-6 years from now in your mind?
I think that we're going to see from a product and technology perspective, I'm always a loath to gaze into the crystal ball and say, you know, because
everyone's
typically classically wrong.
It's good to take guesses.
Yeah. But
we now document it on PodTech to see who's right. We go back 5 years later.
Yeah. and give you a booby prize if you're not. I always look back to look forward. And, you know, if you were to talk about firewall and VPN technology 5-6 years ago. I know, because I was. People would would talk about those things as separate functions. Most of the vendors sold separate devices. You know, you might have some VPN capability in your firewall or some firewall capability in your VPN. But really, if you wanted the real stuff, you bought a separate platform. That's something that Juniper drove, was that change with our NetScreen appliances, where really people started to consider firewall and VPN as a category. And now you'd be difficult to find an analyst or even a customer that isn't expecting their firewall VPN platform to have fully fledged functionality in that. And people still may deploy a VPN, solve a problem with a VPN firewall appliance and do just VPN or do just firewall, but typically it's the same platform. So really that technology, that functional integration of that technology. Now clearly those integrations happened before that,
yeah,
but they weren't really usable. As a colleague of mine talks about is the integration of PDAs and cell phones, right? For some people, over the years we've done enough to make it usable. For other people, no, I still have separate. My requirements are separate. So there's still that, but now clearly we're seeing people almost say firewall VPN interchangeably. I think you're going to start to see that, especially in branch environments, where you see these other technologies.
The integration,
The integration being much more functional. Now, most of the people who would listen to this podcast are looking there, and they're sort of saying, okay, I understand there's benefit about doing this integration, but my bar's pretty high for this integration. I don't want to have, I don't want to go out and, be in a situation where I've made this decision, I turn on all these features, and I find that it doesn't work the way that I need it to work. So I think that there's a lot of development effort, and obviously Juniper's doing a lot of that to drive that integration to be functional. So I think that we will see that. We'll see that real functional integration of these different technologies into the branch, certainly in that time frame.
Final question, podcast here. If you were at a party and someone says, hey, you work for Juniper, and you had to describe to them the security philosophy, the state of what's going on here, how would you describe the stuff that Juniper's doing to them?
Yeah, I think one of the things that you need to be able to do is be able to, organizations want to open up. If you look at, some other pretty high-level trends, the virtual enterprise idea with, more and more interconnectedness between enterprises. You have offshoring, outsourcing, contracting, consulting, and you're sort of opening up your network, and you're consolidating the infrastructure to be now primarily IP. So it presents a pretty target-rich environment for security, right?
So very promiscuous networking environment. A lot of stuff going on, and they're opening up the network.
So it needs to be, the security has to be, able to be deployed, very broadly, needs to be able to have the appropriate level of security for that environment, and it needs to be managed, and essentially the policy element becomes key here. The very granular access control. I always use the analogy of why does a gearbox manufacturer for a car company need to know anything more from that car company than how many gearboxes to ship next week? I mean, that's the sort of level of granular access and control that you need to get to, but unfortunately at the moment many organizations are opening themselves up in order to be productive.
Yeah.
And then there's a challenge associated with it.
So I think they're exposed.
Yeah. So I think from Juniper's perspective and philosophy is that you need to be very cognizant of that and to use policy and distributed functionality to be able to do that. And that's at a higher level than just at a point product level.
We're here at Juniper Networks corporate headquarters with Stephen Philip, the director of product marketing for the Security Products Group. You got a pretty big group. You manage the high-end firewalls, SSL VPN, intrusion detections, application accelerations, the secure services gateway. You got your eye on the horizon, and people are opening up their networks, and you guys are providing great security solutions. Thanks so much for the podcast.
Thanks, John.